Hello again, everyone. This is H. Bosch Jr. with another segment of the Triple E's, Education, Empowerment, Entrepreneurship. My next guest, all right, in the spirit of transparency, family, okay? Miss Ebony Mayo, personal finance consultant and owner of Epiphany Connections. And we got somebody else very, very special that we're going to chime in, and she's going to talk a little bit about herself, but we'll get to that later on in the interview, okay? So, hey, what's up?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good. Thank you so much for taking time out your busy schedule, up-and-coming entrepreneur, to stop by the station and bless us with this interview. I'm so proud of you. You know that.
Thank you for having me.
And I know Mom is so proud of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Ooh, I think that was Mom. And we got a little story about Mom. She just accomplished a major feat today. But let's dig into your story. What made you want to educate others about personal finances?
The biggest thing I would say is in my current profession and working for a credit union, on a daily, I come across people who are in lack of some basic understandings of things when it comes to their money, but they have an account, they have debit cards, they have debts and liabilities that they've taken on, but don't understand the true essence of some of those things, of what it means. And so with that, I see it as a definite need in a community where we need to have some basic understandings about our personal finance.
Absolutely, because we are so far behind the curve in our communities. It's almost generational, and I appreciate you taking this responsibility to educate, and minister to a certain extent our communities. So are you satisfied with your current financial situation? And that's a great question I want to ask, because I always want to know, with financial consultants, what about their own personal finances?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say yes and no. The reason I can say yes is because I'm at a place in my life now where I tell my money what to do and it doesn't tell me what to do.
How about that?
Yes.
Can you tell me something about that, all right? Because I've been telling it what to do, but it still do what it want to do. And what it want to do ain't what I want it to do.
Absolutely.
All right.
And that's something to me that I would say was big in my personal life, where I know how to, and many of us, we know how to work hard. We know how to earn money.
Right.
But I was going after that instant gratification for things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, the big things that I wanted to do, I was too busy satisfying the little instant things to where I couldn't do the big things in life that I really needed to do. And more importantly, I didn't have a plan for it. Mm-hmm. So when I started realizing that when it comes to you truly having a goal or in anything, whether it's finances, your personal life, or even achieving on a job, if you don't have a plan of how you're going to do it, it will just be a dream.
Absolutely. Or the age-old cliche, the five P's, proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Yes.
So what resources do you use to get information about money? Besides prayer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's been working for me. But, you know, come on, Mom.
But on the side of faith, faith does take action.
Yes, indeed.
So on top of that, I would say there's plenty of different avenues. I read a lot of different books. For example, there's a book, Dave Ramsey, Total Money Makeover. Mm. If anyone hasn't heard of him, he's an awesome resource for finances. There's also online, NerdWallet. That's a great resource as well. You have Forbes, the magazine, but also Forbes Online. You have Black Enterprise. There's just such a wealth of resources that are available, like I said, either online or, you know, in audio format. But more importantly, I'll say this, I think sometimes this is overlooked, your friends and family. This is something that has been definitely key, I would say, in me staying on track or even getting on track. I have two girlfriends. Every week, we meet up on Friday, and we talk about money. We talk about what we have done. How is your money week? Have you achieved your goal? And it's holding each other accountable. So sometimes it's not necessarily always an outside resource or an expert. It's the people that are closest to you. And if I see they're doing something good, I'm going to them and ask them how they did it.
Mm-hmm. So how do you maintain your financial goals? How do you stay focused?
And number one, I'll say my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I have right on my home screen is self-discipline. It's something to remind me every day of what my money. I don't allow my emotions or my feelings to dictate how I'm going to spend my money.
Mm-hmm.
To give you a key example, let's say one of your friends invite you to go to the movies. I have $10 where I could go to the movies, but I'm going on a trip to London. So I'm not going to spend that $10 to go to the movies. I'm rather going to put it towards the thing that I want. And that's where, to me, I really started learning that I was becoming successful and controlling where my money was. It started in my mind and me saying, hey, Ebony, I don't feel like I'm, you know, I'm broke. I don't feel like I'm being cheap. You don't want to allow those feelings to dictate as far as how you're going to spend your money. So the main thing was me controlling what exactly I'm going to spend my money on.
Great. So can you share one thing you have found to be common across different socioeconomical groups about money, finances, you know, et cetera? You know, what common denominator would you say would affect, you know, everyone one way or the other?
One way or another is a lack of understanding about credit. In my profession, I come across people who, you know, let's say make under $50,000 every per year. But I come across people who make over $50,000 per year, and they both still get denied loans. And the person who makes more money is absolutely, you know, sometimes they're like astonished as to how that could be. And the basic is yes, you can have a great income, but if you are overextended, whereas in you owe out more than what you're bringing in, then yes, that would affect your credit worthiness. So that's something I feel like sometimes people don't necessarily look at, where it's like, okay, I make a lot of money or I earn a lot of income, and they think because maybe I don't earn a lot of income that I may necessarily won't have good credit. That is something that I think is a big misconception.
Oh, as I just said before we went on the air, you don't have to have a lot of money to get good credit, but you got to have good credit to get a lot of money.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
You know, I think we all would agree to that, you know, and most people don't realize that. And so let me move on to the other part. What sparked your financial passion?
I can call it back, honestly, to a conversation that I had while at my job, volunteering for an event with CEFQ, and the woman I was having a conversation with, her name is Beth Coco. Mm-hmm. She is...
Shout out to Beth Coco.
Absolutely.
And we're going to post a link on the show so you can send it to her.
Yes.
Okay?
Beth Coco is a woman who champions for women's empowerment. And in having this volunteer session afterwards, I'm talking to her, and she's telling me her background. And she was like, Ebony, you know, you could do that. I'm like, can I create something where I can host these classes for the community rep? She's like, yes, you can. And just that simple, her telling me, yes, I could, led me to be able to go out to start with my family and the people closest to me and start hosting financial education classes at my job.
Great.
And having people come in and do certain things. But that just that simple conversation with this woman telling me, yes, you can do this.
Great.
I've done out in
So how do you feel you make a difference, Ebony?
I empower people to believe in themselves.
How about that?
I truly believe I have a gift to let anyone know that what you have something that's special.
That's
everybody has
line.
Something that's
empowering
special.
Empowering people to make productive and significant changes in their life to overcome their adversities.
I'm speaking
to the overcoming adversity specialist.
I have to say the number one thing, and I don't know if anyone else has heard this. My mother has told me this my whole life. Get out of your own way.
Gotcha. Well, we're gonna get to that young lady real soon, all right? So let me finish this real quick. What is your financial goal?
My first financial goal that I would say that I've had and I did achieve over the past 2 years was paying off any financial debts that I had that was outside of my student loans.
Okay.
And I have achieved that.
Okay. What steps have you taken to reach your financial goals?
Sacrifice.
A lot
of sacrifice.
Which a lot of us don't want to do. Mm-hmm.
And I will admit, and maybe it doesn't, I would say it doesn't look well to other people, but that's the thing. You can't worry about what it looks like. You have to worry about what
live
you're actually
beneath
doing.
Your means.
And yes. I do. So I live with my brother and sister. Okay.
They just called. They said they're getting ready to charge you.
But, you know, the thing of it is I'm
you
saying.
Just ain't heard. Wait till you leave. They say, she on the radio and don't mention me. But anyway, all right.
But that was a sacrifice that, to me, a blessing, I'm going to say, that they allowed me to live with them. And in due time of me living with them, I was able to, like I said, to pay off all of my debts.
Okay.
Secondly, I got a second job.
Great.
To me, I don't think it's always necessarily people say cut back. Yes, you can cut back, but there's nothing wrong with earning more.
Great.
And you have to do, well, not have to. You can set it for a certain period of time.
I like
for me,
that.
I I got a certain second job. I did it for 6 months. And you do that for 6 months. I did this with my mom. That money never came into our household, never came into the budget. If it was meant to pay off something, that's what you did.
So let me ask you this, and then we're going to go to something else that I really want to speak on. What does financial wellness mean to you?
Being aware.
Yes. Educated. Responsible.
Absolutely. Right. Financial wellness, number one, is it's the pursuit of something and constantly doing it. Mm-hmm. So to be well at anything, it can't be something you do every once in a while. It can't be happenstance.
Okay.
So to me, wellness is doing something and doing it consistently. And if it's in your money, it can be, like you said, financial wellness, personal, whatever. But number one, with your money, doing those habits that are consistently giving you the results that you want. So spending something, if that's not if your goal is to achieve a certain amount, that's not getting you what you want.
Great.
So you have to do those things that are going to get you to your goal.
So I want to lead into the next couple of questions. Tell me the female who was most influential to you in your life. And where might she be today?
Well, she's right next to me.
And who is that?
My wonderful, beautiful, amazing mother.
Well, let mom say something.
Hello.
And let me say this. I am so, so proud. I might get a little emotional. I truly believe God does things for a reason, and to have all of us here, and I know both our mothers and are looking over us with blessings and with smiles because we are doing something and we're making a difference. And my lovely cousin just retired from state service today. How many years? I'm going to let you talk.
27.
Amen.
27 years by God's grace and mercy. Amen. And now she's going to really spend the rest of her blessed, healthy life making a difference by helping other people. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, okay. So would you like to say a little something about this young lady you raised? All right.
Yes. Ebony always had a gift, and she's always been special. Mm-hmm. And whatever she put her mind to, I know that she would do it. I am very, very proud of her to see the beautiful woman that she has grown into today. And I'm just so happy for her that she's finally living her best life.
Great, great, great. And, you know, it's like three generations because I see Lottie right here, all right?
Nana.
Yes, yes, yes. And apples don't fall far from the tree because your Nana was a great person.
She was a great
strong-willed
person.
Yep. And look at what she produced and look at, you know, all right?
I can't look at you. I swear, like you said, as far as getting emotional, every time I look at you, I see her face.
Yes.
So it's like, I can look at you, but only but for so long.
Yes.
I'm like, oh,
so
my gosh.
I want to say thank you so much. We have some big, big things to do. Out there and making a difference and really, really empowering people. So before I end, I want to say I thank you for what you have done. I thank you for what you're doing. And I thank you for what you continue to do. You are a true difference maker and a blessing. And big, big things are ready to happen for you. God bless you. And may heaven continue to smile upon you. Okay? And we're going to say a shout out to Lois. We all know
say shout out to Lois.
Yes.
I love you, Lois. Uh-huh.
I love you too, Miss Lois.
Okay. So we're going to end by saying, all right, until next time, folks, until next time, folks, don't hear about making a difference. You need to be about making a difference. This is Inez Bosch's baby boy with his family. All right. Mrs. Inez Bosch's baby boy, H. Bosch Jr., doing what I'm made to believe.